7.
Welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and also with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be open and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these things. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10, 15, in 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, by way of His one and only covenant, and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. We are currently engaged in a three-week study of Pesach, which is Passover, Matzah, which is unleavened bread, and Bikurim, which is first fruits. Our phone number for anyone who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. Tomorrow, as a program note, I'm expecting to have Waleed Shabbat on in the first hour. Waleed is someone I've known for a very long time. He is an ex-PLO terrorist. He has written a number of books on Islam. He is fluent in Arabic and, like IQ al-Rasuli, has the advantage of being able to survey the statements that are made by organizations such as the Muslim Brotherhood to expose their agenda. He has recently written a new book, and we're going to examine his insights in our program tomorrow. My concern for those who are listening, and let's hope that it doesn't happen, is that unfortunately Waleed Shabbat did migrate from Islam to Roman Catholicism because of his wife, and so it is a place where we differ. We agree on Islam, of course, but we differ markedly as it relates to Roman Catholicism. I was scheduled to interview his son, who has also written a number of books, but with his son, since I have such respect for Waleed, I encouraged him not to to go to his religion as a support for his views, telling him that if he were to do so, that he's going to find a very critical host. He canceled rather than be on the show. He simply bowed out. And so we'll see how that has influenced Theodore's father, Waleed. But anyway, that is scheduled for tomorrow morning. First thing I would like to turn to is an ongoing story, because I think this story is amazingly insightful as it relates to the world that the United States and most of Europe are headed towards. I think most of those who listen to the show know that I am not a conspiracy theory guy. I know a lot about the Illuminati. I know a lot about Adam Weishaupt. I have studied the original documents that he used to create his Order of the Enlightened. I know a great deal about Freemasonry and its role in propagating the myth. I understand a great deal about political correctness and socialist secular humanism and how it was conceived to influence the masses. Know how that mindset has permeated seminaries and academic institutions, how it has become the national model, if not even the national religion, of the media, politics in this country, as well as of academia. All of that said, I choose to simply let the facts fall, examine them, and piece the information together so that we, with an eye towards the future, can explain what is happening, why it's happening, and what the end goal is going to be. But the reason I went into this brief discussion of conspiracy concepts is that it is pretty hard to ignore the conspiracy aspects of what is happening in Cyprus. It was a trial balloon. It was a small island economy that was sacrificed to make a point that they're in control and we are not. Well, today, since the International Monetary Fund and the European Bank, acting as one, demanded that Cyprus either go bankrupt because they were pulling all liquidity from Cyprus. You know, here, the European Union, they control the currency, they control liquidity, and they were saying to Cyprus that the bailout that we were offering you was not a suggestion. We weren't giving you a choice as to whether or not you wanted to accept it or not. We're telling you here as an ultimatum that either you accept it or we pull liquidity from your banks and you are instantly bankrupt. Now, by the way, for Americans, if you don't understand the concepts of liquidity, and many may not, it's a fairly complex idea relating to cash flows. But as America continues to raise its aggregate debt from now well above $16 trillion to what will be very close to $20 trillion by the time that Obama is out of office, we will have a liquidity crisis, the same kind of liquidity crisis that exists in Cyprus. And that is because ultimately, as you become more and more in debt, and you add more and more to your debt, it becomes impossible to get people to be willing to provide money. And the first step to entice people when it becomes obvious that you're headed for bankruptcy is that you raise the interest rates, which is what Cyprus did. You increase interest rates to make people willing to loan you money, to deposit money even in your banks. You have to raise interest rates. Well, if a government like the United States raises interest rates on what is now approaching $20 trillion, even at 5% interest, which is a very low interest rate, you will add $1 trillion a year to the debt, in addition to the $1 trillion that we're adding each year by spending more than we take in. And so we will end up doubling the rate that the debt is increasing strictly because of the risks associated of loaning money to this country. And so you do reach that point where ultimately you can't raise the interest rates sufficiently to entice investment because the very fact that you're raising the interest rates means that you are putting yourself in a debt spiral by adding more and more to your deficit, which requires more and more liquidity, which becomes more and more costly. And that is why I say it is impossible for the United States to survive as a viable country, as a sovereign nation, more than 10 to 15 years out. We are in the same place, and we will have dictated to us very similar terms that were dictated to Cyprus, maybe even more devastating. So now returning to Cyprus so that you have a peek of the future of this country 10 to 15 years out. The Eurozone finance ministers have agreed to a 10 billion euro bailout deal for Cyprus to prevent its banking system from collapsing and to keep the country in the Eurozone. And with the case of America, a similar kind of deal from abroad will be created that essentially makes the currency worthless. And there will be a period of time of utter chaos that will follow it until people ultimately acquiesce to the terms and conditions of those pulling the levers. And in the case of the tribulation, the one pulling the lever will be Satan himself. The popular bank, which is called the Laiki Bank in Cyprus, is going to be dissolved. The term that they're using is going to be wound down, and deposit holders with more than 100,000 euros will face big losses. My guess is that those with savings greater than 100,000 euros will have their savings completely wiped out. I think they'll be that they have been sacrificed. So here's the second largest bank in Cyprus. It's called the Popular Bank, the Laiki Bank. And rather than doing a fair treatment, uniform treatment across the board and say, we're going to treat everybody the same here. What they're decided to do is they're going to wipe out the Popular Bank, the second largest bank in the country. You know, if you look at America, you've got Citibank, Nations Bank, and Wells Fargo. Because of all of the acquisitions, those three, I think, have something in the range of about a 75 or 80% share. And if you were to take one of those three and say, you know, what we're going to do here is we're just going to wipe out the savings in that one, with exception of those who have very little savings. That's the kind of thing that is going to happen to Cyprus. Now, that means that businesses which have their accounts, their banking accounts in the Popular Bank, those businesses will be wiped out, which will devastate employment. So that's the situation that they are now facing. However, all deposits under 100,000 euros will be fully guaranteed. This, again, is the New World Order concept. The people whose savings are less than $100,000 in aggregate are already dependent upon government. Now, $100,000 or 100,000 euros is not enough of a savings nest egg to get one through retirement or through life without some form of government dependence. Now, is it 100% of people with savings under 100,000 that are dependent on government? No, that would be an exaggeration. But it's certainly a significant, if not majority, percentage of those whose total savings are less than 100,000 euros, about $125,000 to $130,000. Are those who are already dependent in some or totally to government. And that's what they're working towards here. It's why in America, the Congress and Senate took the approach of let's tax those who are productive even more. Let's raise the burden on them, and let's make certain there is no contribution, no burden whatsoever on the majority of people, because the majority of people are in these pseudo-democracies are those who empower us. And so long as we placate the majority, even if what we're doing is unfair, then our policies will be approved and we will be able to continue to manipulate, fleece, and abuse the population. So that's what Obama did to win the last election. It is what is happening in Cyprus. Let's sacrifice the few who are productive, and let's make certain that we have no contribution whatsoever from the majority.
On the
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. One of the things that I want to underscore here is, for our listeners, is two things. First of all, if you think of Cyprus as a little tiny place far, far away, and therefore nothing that happens in Cyprus is going to influence me if I live in Argentina or if I live in Australia or if I live in New Zealand or I live in the United States or any place in the Americas or Asias, don't think that way. There's only one international monetary fund. There's only a handful of central banks that have the kind of influence that is being exerted on Cyprus. They chose Cyprus to see what they could get away with. This is precisely what they want to do. If you're in America, the President of the United States, I can assure you, has had this very same discussion with his closest advisors, wanting to do this very same thing. And in America, the last election was very similar to what's taking place right now in Cyprus. Now, with Cyprus, it was causing the majority of Cypriots to participate in no way whatsoever, to make no contribution whatsoever to the very economic crisis they caused. It was their choice to have benefits that the government could not pay for, that they did not pay for, lavished on them, that bankrupt the country, that brought it to this point. And yet, the central bankers have made it sure that they will make no contribution for the very problem they caused. Now, the people who were actually benefiting the society, in the case, just go to the United States, where the tax now is on earnings as opposed to on savings, But the same concept, the very people who have caused the country to be bankrupt by, in terms of its enormous deficits, which it cannot pay off or down, are those who in the last election cycle were assured that they would make no contribution whatsoever to resolving, to fixing the crisis that they caused. But the very people who were actually contributing to the greater whole, that were making payments into the system, that those people would be penalized all the more. And that's what happened here recently in the United States. It is the same concept that is being played out in Cyprus, but in Cyprus it's being imposed from outside, and it's on savings. We will soon see an attack on savings in the United States, and it will be orchestrated also from outside.
Well, democracy is just two wolves and a lamb talking about what's for lunch.
Yeah, that's a statement from old Benjamin Franklin, right?
Yep.
A lot of insight in that statement. Now, human metaphors don't walk on all fours like wolves and lambs, but just a couple of interesting insights is that you can fleece a lamb year after year. You can only devour it once. And what we are doing to those who are productive in our society is that this confiscatory taxation policy is literally devouring the lamb, as opposed to giving the lamb. You know, if you take its the wool of the lamb, you're taking about 5 to 10% of the essence of the lamb. And if you're just giving the lamb a haircut each year, that lamb's going to continue to be an asset for you. But once you've slaughtered it, it's over. And by the way, what happens to wolves when there are no more lambs, no more food on the hoof for them to hunt because the lambs say, you know, I'm just tired of making this this country. I don't agree with your Social Security system and your Medicare system and your aggressive military. I don't like the way that you're spending the money you're stealing from me, and you're stealing so much of it from me. There is no incentive for me to work anymore. I'm certainly not going to work for programs that I despise. So if there's no more lambs to devour, what do the wolves do?
They'll turn on each other. They'll turn on themselves. It's like any other predator. It eats what it can eat.
Yep. So Benjamin Franklin did a pretty good job with that metaphor, didn't he?
He did a really good job.
Yeah.
And if they can get away with it in Cyprus, why wouldn't they try it here? Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. And what they recognized in Cyprus is that you begin the trial balloon by saying that everybody's going to make a contribution. You know, we all got into this problem together, which is not true. It is those who were making no contribution previously and were those who were voting for politicians that were lavishly spending money on all sorts of indulgences, free this, free that, free everything. And the mindset is that if you continue to exclude any contribution from the majority, who are the primary recipients of the charity, and you continue to steal from those who are productive, that you can not only do this kind of thing, but that you will be praised for having done it. And more people will empower you to do it all over again. So yes, it's going to be done in America. To Shattering Myths. One of the things that appeared in this article, and the one that I'm sharing with you now, is from the BBC. We're going to consider here just in a moment a snippet from CNN Money. But the BBC wrote, officials warn the island faces a deep recession with many businesses to shut. You know, it's not the recession that is going to shut the businesses. But the person who wrote this, who simply printed what the officials told him or her, probably doesn't understand the economics of this issue. Those savings accounts, those checking accounts that are in those banks, many of them were from businesses. Imagine being in business in Cyprus and not being able to draw upon your checking account for 2 weeks' time. Can't make payroll. You can't pay your suppliers. No one is going to allow you to buy any materials. You're officially shut down. And we don't know when the banks will be back opened. Beyond that, imagine being in business, and because you're in business, you have borrowed money, say, and you've got a reasonable sized checking account so that you're prepared to make the liquidity demands that on your business over the next 6 to 12 months, and 1/3 or more of what's in your checking account is taken from you. You can't even pay back the loan. They purposefully, deliberately, knowingly made this move to destroy businesses in Cyprus. Now, why would they do so, since businesses are the only operative lambs in that in any country in terms of the viability of the economy? Because government is a parasite. It's not a contributor. Well, the reason is that the more people who are dependent, since they're the printers and arbitrators of money, when the only source of actual funds is eliminated, the competition is eliminated. Everyone becomes dependent on government. And as more and more people, and ultimately, essentially everyone, becomes dependent on government, they have total and complete control. That was part of the plan. It's part of the plan to be deployed in America, too. That's why this administration has become so popular by making business the primary enemy. Now, this is from CNN Money. The new bailout plan will protect all deposits of less than $100,000, but is likely to mean bigger losses for accounts holders of more than $100,000. The two biggest banks, the Bank of Cyprus and the Popular Bank of Cyprus, will essentially change, with the Bank of Cyprus being controlled entirely by the IMF and the European Monetary Fund, and the Popular Bank being eliminated. Now, this is very much like the United States, where anyone earning less than $50,000 to $60,000, I shouldn't say everyone. If you are an average American family earning less than $50,000 to $60,000 a year, then you pay no tax. The money that you pay in is refunded to you. That's on average. Now, there are exceptions to that, and there's individuals who make less than that, who don't have the deductions associated with owning their own home and children. But on average, the average American household combined incomes in the $50,000 to $60,000 range, a couple of kids and a house payment, pay nothing. Happens to be somewhere between 47% and 53% of Americans. They pay nothing, make no contribution whatsoever to the cost of government. Well, that's very much equivalent to individuals whose aggregate savings and checking accounts are less than $100,000. They'll make no contribution. So with the majority of people, the plan is popular. They got no skin in the game. And there's always class envy. Those who have not been successful very often blame those who are for their circumstances. It's what's enraging the Islamic world. It's why Muslims have always been so enraged. They've always lived in poverty. They've always had limited opportunities. And rather than blame themselves or blame their religion, they always choose to blame someone else. That's why they hate Jews who, right in their midst, are successful. The CNN Money article says the Popular Bank will be broken up immediately. It's going to be savaged. Its viable assets will be integrated into the Bank of Cyprus, and its non-performing loans will be moved to a bad bank to be wound down. It calls it a haircut in CNN money. This is not a haircut. This is a slaughter. A haircut is where you would fleece all of the sheep, taking about 5 to 10% of their total entity. That would be a haircut. This isn't a haircut. In matter of fact, the popular bank depositors are going to have $4.2 billion of their savings and of their banking accounts stolen. $4.2 billion. And virtually all the money that Cyprus had to raise are coming by confiscating the productive assets of the popular bank. Just going to steal them. You know, that Cyprus was given the weekend to raise a total of $6 billion. Governments don't raise money. Governments don't do anything that whereby they earn money. So what did the government of Cyprus do? I said, well, just go steal it. And with the direction of the International Monetary Fund, they said, why don't we just close this bank and we'll steal all of the money in that bank. We'll welch on all of the liabilities. We'll just wind them down. We'll call that bad bank liabilities. So we'll welch on all of the liabilities, and we'll steal all of the assets. That's what they're doing. And they're getting by with it because the majority of people have no skin in the game. Same thing is happening in the United States. Now, turning back to the BBC article, the European Central Bank set a deadline for Monday for the deal, which came, this was a straight-up blackmail. You either agree to our terms, or a even worse version of our terms, or we're going to stop providing liquidity for your bank, and you will be bankrupt instantly. Now, Parliament rejected a proposal to bank to levy charges on small deposits. Why? Because it's the small depositors that provide the majority of the people who elected them. The new deal will not be put to a vote in the Cyprus Parliament. In other words, they're all going to acquiesce to it. They're going to acquiesce to it because they have relinquished their sovereignty. Same thing's going to happen to America. They have relinquished their sovereignty. They're not even going to vote on it. The IMF head, the wicked witch of France, Christine Lagarde, said that the bailout deal agreed was a comprehensive and credible plan to help restore trust in the banking system. Now, imagine this international monetary manipulator saying that us stealing 100% of the productive assets, 100% of the savings and checking accounts in the second largest bank in Cyprus is going to engender trust. She knows that it's not engendering trust. What it is engendering is dependence. And when a politician or a international manipulator like Christine Lagarde and the IMF says something, you can rest assured that the majority of what they're saying is untrue. A comprehensive and credible plan to help restore trust in the banking system is we shut down the banks for 2 weeks so that you don't have access to your own money. Because the banks were being run like politicians run countries where they have no concept whatsoever of what it's like to be responsible. And because of their irresponsibility, these same politicians are going to now confiscate the money of those who were responsible. And that's going to engender trust. The Cypriot finance minister, Mikolas Serres, said that he believed the possibility of bankruptcy had been inverted. Now, in the case of Cyprus, by accepting this plan, all they did was put themselves in a worse position. To whatever amount of debt they already had that they could not service, they've added another $10 billion worth of debt. It's like the United States saying, we're going to solve our deficit problem by adding another $1 trillion to our debt next year. You know, if Atlas is shrugging because the load is too much for Atlas to carry. And you say, you know what I think we need to do is add another 10% to the amount of weight that Atlas is already shrugging under each additional year. Doesn't take very long. And Atlas is crushed. They didn't avert bankruptcy. They made certain that the ultimate collapse of their country will be far more catastrophic and far more certain. Here's another statement. Quote, it's not that we won a battle, but that we really have avoided a disastrous exit from the Eurozone. Yes, now what you are is no longer sovereign. You are now controlled by the IMF and the Eurozone Central Bank. There will be relief in Cyprus that small depositors have been protected, but the deal comes at a heavy price, the BBC correspondent says. The chairman of the Cypriot Parliament's Finance Committee, Nicholas Papadopoulos, said that the agreement made no economic sense. You know, it's amazing that you can have the International Monetary Fund and the Central Bank of the European Union impose a plan that makes absolutely no economic sense and have the world yawn. The newscaster for the Christian SRN said, oh, wow, the economic crisis in Cyprus has been averted. In Farina, don't worry about that anymore. They've resolved it. No, this plan that they proposed made no economic sense, but because most people are illiterate financially, everyone yawned. Ted Anderson, who owns this network, the Genesis Communication Network, during a commercial immediately after that, asked you to write, call, and get a book from him. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. He was going to even include a silver dollar to encourage you to read this book. Shed your ignorance. It's the right thing to do. The book he wants you to read will open your eyes. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Ayada. You can engage in this conversation 877-300-7645. This chairman of the of Cyprus's finance committee of its parliament, which for all practical purposes now has no useful existence. They have ceded their sovereignty to the European Central Bank and to the International Monetary Fund. This was his parting shot. Quote, we are heading for a deep recession, high unemployment. They want to send a message that the Cypriot economy ought to be destroyed. And they've succeeded in large part. They've destroyed our banking sector, he told the BBC. They did. They destroyed their banking sector. Why would they do that? Why would they resolve this economic crisis of debt in Cyprus by providing Cyprus with more debt on the conditions that the trust in its banking sector be destroyed? Well, I think it's twofold, actually. One is a trial balloon to be able to confiscate the savings of those who are not dependent upon governments now, because they want everyone dependent. When everyone is dependent, you're back to the conditions that existed in feudal Europe. You're back to the conditions that exist in almost all Islamic countries today. You're back to a fascist system where the vast majority of people are serfs, they're slaves. They are dependent. And so by doing this, they cause more people to be dependent. And this is a scheme that they will deploy in more countries around the world. There's also another issue. Russia, which is economically viable, has essentially no debt, isn't a player in the International Monetary Fund, isn't a player in the European Union, and the majority of the large deposits in Cypriot banks, because of their higher interest rates, were Russian. And this is economic warfare. They wanted the Russian oligarchs punished for their lack of participation. In fact, the BBC's Steve Rosenberg in Moscow says the suspicion has been growing in Russia that Europe is using the banking crisis to target Russian money in Cyprus. You know, we already have the issue in Syria, where you have Russia and China on the side of the Syrian government, on the side of Iran, and Europe and the United States on the side of the Mujahideen, the jihadists. It's a catalyst for war. This kind of economic action is also a catalyst for war. We have a world where economies are collapsing. People are enraged. Politicians want someone else to blame. This is simply fanning the flames of a war that is certain to envelop the globe. And keep in mind that while the collapse of businesses is good for those that manipulate the monetary levers of the world and of society because it makes everyone dependent upon them, there's nothing that they prefer more than war, with people dying and nations having to go ever more in debt to finance the mechanisms of war. They destroy and people need to borrow to build back, makes people ever more dependent upon them. All of this is woven together. It is one tapestry, and we ignore it at our peril. This is an interesting story in that I had to search down two stories and get to the end of the second story before I finally found what I was looking for. What I was looking for is what is the amount that will ultimately be stolen from those who have bank and savings accounts of greater than 100,000? Because not even mentioned, not even of concern to anyone writing these articles. And finally buried in one of the articles, this is what I found. The percentage to be leveled on large deposits in the Bank of Cyprus, the island's largest lender, will be resolved in the coming weeks. Now, for the Popular Bank, they've already told, they haven't said, but they have certainly inferred by saying that they're going to raise $4.5 billion from that bank by dissolving it, that they're stealing 100% of the viable assets, all of it. If you had a bank account in the Popular Bank, your savings, your bank account is now zero. It's been confiscated from you. And in the Bank of Cyprus, which everything now is going to be merged into, if you have savings or a bank account greater than $100,000, they've said, we're not publishing the amount that we're going to take. But what they're saying now is that Cyprus government spokespersons have said that the level would be set at around 30%. Welcome to the New World Order.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...